Welcome to Discover Indie Film. This is a DIF4Q, or Four Questions episode, and today those four questions are going to be answered by Natasha Babenko. Natasha's film, Girl Eating Banana Audition, was one of the big hits of Film Invasion LA in 2018, and it's not online yet, so when it does come online, I really hope you check it out. It's definitely a film you'll remember. But this is a particularly fun four questions because when you're talking about favorite films, underrated film, overrated film, and lesser known films that people should seek out, when you're getting those recommendations from someone who was born in Ukraine, went to university in Paris, also lived in Chicago, also is now going to NYU, basically a citizen of the world, speaks many languages, and now we get to find out what someone with that kind of diverse background loves to see at the cinema.
My favorite films are Melancholia by Lars von Trier, Killing Horse by Bellatar, and the third one would be Andrei Rublev by Tarkovsky.
The only one I've seen is the Lars.
Have you seen Andrei Rublev?
No.
Oh, that one, I guess they're all must-sees, well, because I love them so much, but yeah, I think you will love it. It's so good. Like, it's a very deep film. Like, it gets you, you know? I remember I saw it for the first time, and I realized why it's so good, like, a week later. And I'm very emotional. When I realized it, I started crying, which was really amusing to me. But it was very interesting to observe myself.
And who directed it?
That was Andrei Tarkovsky. It's the Russian. I can send you, I can email you if you want.
Because my knowledge of Russian film is not so great.
They have this film in English with English subtitles, so you'll be able to see it with English subtitles.
Great.
Which is great. Yeah. I'll send you an email with my favorite films.
Oh, he was part of Solaris. I did see that one. But the second question is underrated. So, film you think that people don't give the credit it deserves.
There's a lot of people. There's so many films, but I think the recent one is Patterson by Jim Jarmusch.
Oh, I love Jim Jarmusch.
He went to my school too.
He did. He and Spike Lee. Yeah. I mean, well, your school is. There's no doubt that NYU just puts out some really great artists.
Yeah, it's fascinating. That for me, it's also fascinating to think about all those names and that I'm part of the school right now. It also puts a lot of pressure on you. I mean, it's just incredible. It's like the group of people you meet at NYU is probably the best people you would want to hang out with, or at least, especially when you're an artist. Because the background, the stories that happened to them, the schools they went to before, you know, they got to NYU, whatever careers they built before NYU, they're all so fascinating. And, you know, it's been said that among all film schools, NYU is the one that is, like, nurturing the auteur, you know, this very vague word, which I think is a little pretentious, you know, auteur. But it is pretty much, you know, a person who would say something the way only they can say and nobody else can. And walk around, like, thinking that we all are capable of doing it. I think people are very humble because once you start making film, even your first film, like even your first exercise, you can see how hard it is. Like one thing is to say, you know, I went to NYU, I studied with this professor, I want to do this and that, but another thing is to do it. And the side of doing it is very, very hard, and not, you know, in terms of producing it, like, you know, doing, let's put the camera here, let's hire the actors. In terms of, you know, being able to produce the idea, being able to write on the level where it's, like, so unique that people want to watch it. So this is the hard thing. And I guess we're all just preoccupied with like our ideas and like how truth we want to convey with our stories. That's the
thing, and you have so much work to do too. I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, it's funny. I can't give you an exact number, but all the filmmakers who I've interviewed for this podcast, I think, are really talented. I really love their work, but at least like 1 in 10 went to NYU. Maybe it's more. And actually, I think it's more like 1 in 5 have gone to NYU. And I love these NYU filmmakers. Like, I definitely think something comes out of NYU that's special.
Very interesting. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. Very happy. Well, the next question is overrated. And I know you're a very positive person, and you may not want to criticize, but it's not necessarily criticism. You could even love the film. It's just you think that the amount of praise heaped on it is kind of overblown.
Well, overrated. Okay, yes, you're right. You know, I never criticize, even when I'm on my own, other filmmakers, because I know how hard it is to make a film. And I really praise anyone who is capable of making film, anyone. So in terms of like content, you know, style, I don't want to critique anybody, obviously, because it's, as again, it's art is subjective. But in terms of recognition and press, I think I can tell you one film. And okay, I think La La Land is the film that I don't know why. He's a young director. He also just came out from film school. When it's like his second feature film, right? I mean, I read a lot about him. Obviously, he made a huge progress right after his education. I think he went to Yale. I might be wrong. I don't know. But La La Land is the film that it's almost like a film that was done many, many years ago. And for some, the story is still interesting, and like the characters that are so two-dimensional are still getting so much praise. Like, we're living in 21st century, and with the amount of technology we have right now, our perception of the world changed so dramatically. And to just simplify everything into like songs and like this is how it is, I don't know. I felt it was...
You are not alone. I think La La Land might lead the pack for people who've named it as something they consider overrated.
But only because, not because it's a bad movie. I mean,
it's a good film. You know? It's just
I could watch it, but when it was nominated for all the Oscars, right? I don't remember how many, and it got such a praise in the press and everything. You know, the press or I don't know, like PR, they treated it like, oh, it's something that was never seen before, or like something very unique. But in a way, it was like, well, what is unique about it? You know.
You know, I have a funny La La Land story. Which is, on first viewing, I was very disappointed. It was like during awards season, so I didn't like it much at all. And then I really did appreciate the ending. I thought his ending sequence was really neat, and I kind of appreciated the couple not living happily ever after. And then I was on a cruise. We go on cruises just to relax for a week, and it was on the TV, and I saw the ending again, and I really liked the ending scene. And then, like, a few days later, I saw it from, like, the middle to the end, and I loved the whole... And then I saw the whole film, and I'm like, wow, I actually like La La Land now. I went from first view, and I think it was partially it being nominated for so many things. I watched and I'm like, oh, this isn't so great. And now that I've seen it with the right expectations, I find it kind of beautiful.
I don't know. Maybe I will give it another look. I don't know.
Well, but the truth is, you know, life is kind of short. Yeah, I can't exactly, you know, every film I didn't like, I don't have to watch two more times to see if I was right. You know, at a certain level, the filmmaker has to grab you the first time.
I think that also I have, you know, my mentality. I'm coming from the culture, which is very different from American culture. And obviously, you know, I've been, as you said, I've been living in many places throughout my life. So I think right now I kind of melted a lot of different mentalities in my mind and in my personality. But I, the depths of, in Russia, like all these movies, oh, they're so dramatic. And the psychology they show is so complicated. Everything is so complicated and dark. And just take Loveless, which was nominated for Oscar. It's by Andrei Zvyagintsev, which I love, by the way, that movie. And I love the director. It's one of my favorite directors. And, if you watch Loveless and then you watch La La Land, you'll be like, wait, what is going on? It's pretty much like, it's about, it's the type of humans that Zvyagintsev shows in his film in comparison to the type of humans that were shown in La La Land. They're like from two different planets, you know? It's like, how they can exist on one planet? It's impossible. But it is possible, and that's the human diversity. I guess that's the beauty of it, too. See? Art shows the diversity.
Definitely.
But I was told, so my latest film was this virtual reality film that I made. We actually just came from Art Basel. We were invited there, and somebody made a comment there, knowing that I'm Ukrainian, but I also work in America. Somebody made a comment about that film that it has Slavic depths of like perception and the suffering and everything, but somehow American aesthetics, which I said we've never seen anything like this before, because it's like we can see it's American, like everything, you know, style and everything, like how you're presenting information, right? But it's so deep, like no American would ever go that deep into like suffering, you know, about existential crisis and everything. And I said, I'll take that as a compliment.
That's definitely a compliment.
Yeah, but this is definitely, I'm going to take this as my advantage, you know, when I make art, because I don't want to shy, I'm not a type of person who, like, shies away from my identity, and I never, like, hide the fact that I'm Slavic. I think I think that's the problem in general with identity, that people try to, like, when they move somewhere, first of all, they're trying to, like, you know, say, oh, that's not me, you know, like, I'm different, like, I'm like you, you know, because they want to assimilate with the environment, but that's the biggest mistake, because then you lose your, uniqueness, like what makes you like you. And it's a shame that a lot of people, like, because in America, there are a lot of immigrants, right? And the most immigrants that I meet, for some reason, they always like try to be as American as they can. And I just don't understand why they're trying to do this. They will never succeed. You will never be American if you are not born in America, you know? So I don't know. It's a whole another, you know, thing that I'm observing in the world, which is fascinating to me.
Well, the last question of these four, and I know you're going to name something I've never heard of, I can tell, but is a lesser known film that you highly recommend for people to watch.
Wow, so many.
So many.
Well,
if you want, you can name one Russian, one European, and one American. You can spread it around, spread the love if you like.
I mean, people, if people are curious about European cinema, they definitely should take a look at Bellatar. Bellatar's film, they're so unique. Bellatar film, they're so unique, you cannot be even inspired by them. You know, like, oh, I saw this film, now I'm inspired to do my work. You can't, because he creates his world, and he's inspired by his world, and you're only there to enjoy it. And I love it about him. You will never be able to replicate him or, you know, do something like he's doing. European. And Russian film, I guess Andrei Zvyagintsev, any film of his, is amazing. And they're all on Netflix. There is one called Yelena, one called Return, and one, I don't know if Loveless is on. There was another one that I forgot. But anyway, if you Google all his films, they're great. And then the good thing, they're available on Netflix, so you can watch it in English, which is great. You don't have to struggle. You know, for me, he's a huge inspiration for me. Like, he inspires me to make art. And originally, when I saw his works, like Return, when I saw Return for the first time, I remember I even brought it to my class. I just got into NYU then, and I showed they asked us to bring the favorite sequence, and I brought the opening sequence, which I loved. It was so well done and so moving. And I think that film had a huge impact on me. Like, I when I saw that film, I had no doubt that that's what I should be doing with my life.
I think Natasha just set the record. Out of all the films she named, and she named more than most, I think I'd only seen one. So there you go. She just gave me a lot of homework. And I just got to say again, if you get a chance to see Natasha's work, you should. And as soon as Girl Eating Banana Audition's available online, I'm going to put links to it at the discoveryindiefilm.com website. And talking about the website, if you go to discoveryindiefilm.com, you can learn about Natasha, but you can also watch a lot of great short films that are embedded there. There's links to the Sherman Oaks Film Festival website and the Film Invasion Los Angeles website. I think there's even a link to my personal website. And on top of that, if you're not into websites and you're more into social media, remember, it's at DIFWINS. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. The handle for everything Discover Indie Film is at DIFWINS. Thanks for listening. I probably won't do this, but if I was ever down and in a bad mood, maybe after a rough day at the festival, I should probably just reach out to Natasha and say, hey, can we have a chat? Because I swear to God, I think just talking to her lifts your spirits. And I sure hope that there's a lot more films we get to see from her. It sounds like there's going to be. Okay, it's wrap-up time. Go to discoveryindiefilm.com. There you can get more information about Natasha. You can also see a lot of other great short films that have been interviews on this podcast. You can get links to lots of great feature films where I've interviewed those filmmakers on this podcast. And you can get links to the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. It's every November. And Film Invasion Los Angeles. That is every June. And as I said in the intro, at DIF Wins, that's the handle for this podcast and more on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thanks for listening.